Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we were joined by the man behind Football Manager, The Excellent Game, the latest edition is out, and he had some weird and wonderful stories. The lengths people go to when they play it.
It's
staggering.
Amazing, yeah. It inspires a lot of loyalty.
So Miles Jacobson was here, big Watford fan as well. Also, we spoke to Paul Bring Turner, one of our top team out in Spain, about Gareth Bale and all the fallout from the flag and the song and yeah, the Madrid fans not happy.
Turn out the way we thought it might.
No, as you'll discover. We had a chat about various things. A very odd conversation that Andy, we think there was a misprint in one of the papers. You'll understand that. And lots
never
more besides.
Melissa Thermidor.
You won't. Here it all is. That's right, 6 minutes past
Louise
one.
Louise Weimatch. The Louise
really good word for Louise
boy, that would be.
It wouldn't be, would it? Yeah.
No, not really.
What's the time? Yeah, 6 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And it's very interesting news, that, about Prince Andrew. Andrew, rather, because Andrew, I've been quite positive.
Prince Andrew?
Prince Andrew.
Yes.
In
effect. You've been watching The Crown.
I have.
Yeah.
Very, they need a new casting director, but that's another whole story.
Okay.
In effect, the Queen has fired Prince Andrew, basically, yeah. Perhaps she'll bring in Poch. Tremendous.
She might do, yeah. That's maybe he could come in, yeah.
She had to let him go.
Yeah. So, last night, Andy, you turned auctioneer.
I did.
Was this the first time you'd ever done it?
It was the first time I've ever done it.
Your friend Jeff Thompson?
Yes, the Youth Charter, Jeff's wonderful charity
organisation. This is not the cricketer, this is the former...
No, not the cricketer.
Karate world champion.
Yeah, he's a wonderful... We've interviewed him on the show, yeah. He's a tremendous guy.
And he has a charity, does great work.
It's just about empowering young kids to sort of, you know, make something of themselves in inner city areas.
Yeah.
And they've done tremendous work. And anyway, this was a fundraiser.
Some of it through sport, some of it not.
Sport and the arts.
Sport and the arts, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so I went down to, it was at the Orbit, you know, right next to the Olympic Stadium or
London
Stadium,
yeah, yeah.
Which is looking much more West Ham, I must say, actually.
But the ground is, yeah,
it feels more like West Ham.
It does feel more like West Ham,
better.
And I noticed that recently.
And eventually, you know, the whole area will come alive. It's still a bit of a building site. There's a lot of stuff happening there, but it's interesting. And the do was actually at the top of the Orbit,
which is quite.
And they were offering people a chance to go down the
slide down.
Yeah.
Did you give it a go?
You've got to be joking. Absolutely no chance.
No.
It's
a good way to leave the venue, isn't it?
You've got to put on a Peter Cech style helmet.
Oh, yeah.
You get into this blanket thing.
Yeah.
And then you sort of slide down. I think, I don't fancy that at all.
Sounds great. What an opportunity.
People enjoyed it, I must say, but I didn't fancy it. Anyway, that's by the by.
Coward.
I know.
Anyway.
And, So the auction started, and I only got the list. There were only about 8 or 9 items. But,
yeah. What sort of stuff was on offer then? What sort of items?
Nice football shirt, signed City, signed West Ham, signed United shirt.
Lovely, oh wow.
There was some nice artwork. There was some nice, there was a Tim Henman experience.
Yeah.
What a band they were.
Yeah, they were good, yeah.
And,
Cuddly toy.
Cuddly toy, yeah.
Heated rollers.
That sort of idea.
That's the, yeah.
All good stuff. You know, sort of stuff, you know, you get
it. So how did you do then as an auctioneer?
Well, not too bad. I mean, I'm no Johnny Gould or, you know, Lord Archer or anybody like that.
Yeah.
But, I didn't do too bad.
Did you bully? Did you a bit of bullying?
Bit of bullying.
You can afford it. You
bit of a harangue. I did a bit of that. Bit of a haranguing.
Because
some of the stuff, you know.
I suppose it's a balancing act, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, you have to do it with a twinkle in the eye.
That's right.
Johnny Gould, the master auctioneer, of course, when we watch him, he says terribly insulting stuff to people. But with a kind of twinkle, he questions their man or womanhood. Yeah. And then But with a twinkle in the eye, so he gets away with it. That's the key.
Yeah, I'm not really a twinkle in the eye sort of person.
No, you're not. You're very much... you don't say anything. You base everything you say, you mean.
I do.
Bit of a leveller.
Yeah, one bloke... It was one moment where I... Because they had asked me to bring some of my own artwork, some of my signed prints down. So yeah. I did. And one of them went quite... That was good. But the other one I held up, and the bloke... I went, who will give me... Because I didn't think I would ask him. I said, who will give me 50 quid for this?
Yeah.
I'll give you 50p. I thought, yeah, thanks,
so
mate.
Was you almost getting down on the floor windmilling?
Yeah, I was going to get down there. I was really tempted.
Gonna get
I got quite annoyed.
It's not good when the auctioneer starts squaring up to people, is
and
it?
Then one moment, yes, it was a Muhammad Ali thing that one of Jeff's kids from the youth charter had done.
Poster, yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice. And there was a set of 10 of these sort of black icon figures. And my wife bid for it.
Oh, okay.
So I thought, well, I'm going to have to... So we were bidding against each other, which was quite good.
Fantastic. Did either of you win?
I won.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well,
so
well
that
done.
Was good, yeah. So that was fine. Yeah, all good. So great
How
great
much
evening.
Did you raise, do you know? Have you got
oh,
the final
I don't know
figure
exactly. Yeah, you know... it's a couple of grand.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
well,
not fantastic, but not too bad. And then this morning, Eddie Jones. I got here early because I stayed over East Side last night.
You saw Eddie, did you? This
yeah,
morning.
I saw Eddie.
Did you have a chat?
Yeah, I got here very early. Yeah. I had to put a sign up because when you arrive, I don't know if the listeners have ever done this, but if you would arrive at a different time than you normally arrive at your workplace, every single person will say, you're in early, you're in late, what are you doing here? And it sort of drives you a bit mad. Yeah. So I produced a poster.
Right.
That I stuck on the computer that I was sitting in the desk saying, I'm here early because I did a charity do last night. Yeah. I didn't want to go all the way back to Chiswick and say, that's why I'm here early.
See, that's the kind of passive-aggressive behaviour that means you've never got a twinkle in your eye. Isn't it, really?
It's really.
That says, if you told us that first, I wouldn't even ask if you'd done it with a twinkle in your eye, because that is very passive-aggressive, isn't it?
So anyway, Eddie Jones, in this interesting interview with Alan, said that he wouldn't mind managing Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's been practicing his, good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
And, look, I did not see it. So he's ready for the job.
Yeah, look, good evening.
That may be good, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, good evening.
Sounds like a winner.
What Eddie a mashup Jones. That is. Eddie Jones and Unai Emery.
Yeah, look, good evening. Go on, have a go yourself. You'll feel better. Give it a try. See, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah,
you feel better now.
Good evening.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
else have
evening.
We got here? Did you see?
I'll stop saying that.
I know, it's bad, isn't
quite
it?
Quite
really?
Into it. Yeah.
The fact of the day, I like this new thing in the Daily Star. They're all sporty ones. The fact that there's one club, there's one team that wears three lions on their shirt, other than England.
I was going to say England. I thought it seemed a bit easy.
a bit of an easy question.
Yeah.
And it is Faversham Town FC in Kent.
Really?
They're the only team in the country, other than England, have three lions on their shirt, and their big song "Semi-Pro Football's Coming Home."
Yeah, do we know the history of that, Andy?
I don't. Do you want to look into it?
We got the guys from Corinthians. We've certainly got Chris Watney from Corinthian Casuals. Maybe they have great links to the England team as an entity. So we'll try and find out if he knows much about Faversham. It's asking a lot. Is it Faversham Town? Did you say
Faversham Town?
Let's ask the listeners. There must be a Faversham Town fan out there who can tell us why they wear the three lions and what the connection is.
Yeah.
Is it in the style of the England three lions? Is it the Lions
rampant? You're asking me a lot of questions here. I'm going on fact of the day is my only
and
resource.
And to be honest, the only reason you did it was to do the joke about semi-professional football.
You know me
home.
Too well.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's what I'm here for, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. Anyway. So what sort of... I know you're a bit paranoid about this. So when they said last night, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome and conduct the auction tonight from TalkSport Radio, Andy Jacobs. And was it just Jeff at the back like Citizen Kane, one man clapping?
Single to fine leg.
Was it really?
Oh, no.
It was like the sort of applause you get on day two of a county championship game between Gloucester and North End.
To be fair, Bolton Council brought a whole three tables of Chinese people.
Right.
Who I'm not sure are big TalkSport listeners.
Well, they might be. So they didn't know. You mean they didn't know who you were?
They didn't know who
you should
who
have taken
I was.
Martin Kellner. He's massive in China.
Massive in China.
Overnight.
Have, yeah.
His overnight show. He's a bit of a cult listen.
Oh, Martin Kellner's sport on TV.
Oh,
yes, I know
love
that section
yeah,
of the
that's
show.
Fantastic.
That's tremendous.
You seem to watch an awful lot of 20, 30 for 30 documentaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sort of idea, anyway.
What happened in Tipping Point yesterday? Would have asked him, wouldn't they?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.
Oh, you love him now.
What's that?
Jose. He's laughing there and he's TalkSport.
No, I was quite impressed I was quite impressed with the trail where suddenly went, oh, TalkSport. Yeah. So,
yes.
Let's turn to Wales then and Gareth Bale and the former Real Madrid striker, Predrag Mijatovic, the other week on a radio show said the first thing that Bale thinks about is Wales, then golf, and after that, Real Madrid. So it was a quote from a radio show. Yeah. And off the back of that, the Wales fans embraced it, as you've probably seen. They have their song, Wales Golf Madrid. And all the Wales boys, after qualifying for the Euros, held up a Welsh dragon flag. Wales Golf Madrid in that order, it said. And Gareth, front and centre, laughing away, obviously full of the joys of having qualified for another
major championship. That was never going to play well in Madrid,
though. Well, of course it hasn't. It's created a bit of a storm over there. And in some people's eyes, it's the last straw.
Mm.
So let's head there. Paul Breen-Turner, one of our top team out in Spain, joins us now to tell us what they're saying. Good afternoon, Paul.
Yeah, Andy, Paul, I didn't think you two would be speaking anymore now after...
I think Andy was glad to be shot of him.
I think you'll be, in the short term, I think you'll be successful.
I'll tell you what's quite telling. He's saying things like this, but you're not at all bothered that he's at Tottenham, are you? You don't see it. I don't think you or Jason particularly see it working.
Well, no, I do see it working.
You do see it working.
Yeah, I do see it. I think it will work in the short term, but I mean...
But if it was Nagelsmann, you would have been bothered. I know when you would have been bothered, but you're not bothered, are you, that it's Jose?
Honest. No, because I think Spurs will win stuff. But I thought Spurs were likely to challenge under Pochettino. So I've got used to Spurs being good. So, and then, you know, we've got our own issues and our own season to have. Yeah. So, no, I'm not too bothered either way.
Well, maybe I misread it. So, Paul, back to Gareth Bale. And what are they saying over in Spain?
Do you know, I'm going to come clean. I'm actually in Hungary. I'm in Budapest at the minute. But,
great.
What are they saying in Hungary
about it? What are they
saying
in Budapest about it? They gone big with it or what?
Yeah, do you know what? I watched the game over here the other night.
Yeah, they're
a great bunch. You know, they were just laughing when they were losing. They weren't intent at all and they fully expected Wales. And they think Bale is a world superstar, you know. So, firstly, they went too upset. I was shocked because when I bought around the drinks, it was like 5,000.
5,000 what? Not pounds, I take it.
Well, no, I thought it was euros and I was getting all mixed up and nearly heading for the door. You know, it's a long time since I've been in a country where I don't really know the currency.
Right.
But
what does 5,000 equate to then for a round of drinks, Paul, for those that don't go to Budapest a lot?
I think it's about 12 quid or something.
And now, when you say a round of drinks, how many drinks are you talking?
Wow, about 7 or 8.
Cool, blimey.
Pretty generous.
Change from 15 quid for 8 drinks.
Never bought us 7 drinks.
Been in the army.
But it wasn't, but you guys would love it here. They play all 80 stuff and the Scorpions, the Smiths, Culture Club, and your favourite band, Depeche Mode, you know. I mean, it's a cool place.
I wouldn't say favourite band, but I'm a fan. So, Paul...
But, I should tell you, I have been talking to the Spanish media and I've read the Spanish press today. And the fans, understandably, are really annoyed about this incident with Gareth Bale on this poster. Mm. Behind the scenes, and a couple of journos that I've spoken to, they're saying, you know, when he's fully fit, he's a massive and really important player for us. You know, he's won 4 Champions Leagues, scored important goals in the final. You know, Zidane apparently is not perhaps as distant from him as the media make out. So does he still have a future there? There was a rumour, which I'm sure you heard about in the UK, that he would be offered to Manchester United along with a bundle of cash for Paul Pogba, who we've spoken a lot about on this show. So I think there's mixed feelings in Spain about it. I don't think they think he did it on purpose.
No, I don't think so either. And the thing is, you watched the game, I did as well. He's still a terrific player. You just said that they think that, and he is. But there is a feeling, I have a feeling, that he's just wasting his time there. You know, I know he's getting paid a lot of money, a fortune. But, you know, it's a short career and he's a good player and he could play in the Premier League. He could play anywhere, really. So it is a bit of a waste from his point of view, this story.
The other thing was, Paul, is that he'd been injured. He'd not played for about 4 weeks. And then as soon as he was better, he went and played for Wales. So that, you know, that is just a coincidence, but it doesn't help the attitude they have towards him.
I mean, we're looking ahead now to see if he plays over the weekend against, I think it's Real Sociedad, who Madrid are playing. So it'll be interesting to see if he does feature in that game. But other little things, you know, I was with a couple of journos covering an international game that Belgium played, and we got together with Courtois, on full time for a bit of an informal chat. Mm. And I said, oh, how's Gareth doing? Oh, he likes his golf. He said, you know him. And I said, doesn't he come out? No, when we have a player's birthday, we go out for dinner in Madrid, like at 10 o'clock at night. He said, Gareth never comes. He said, he's in bed by 11.
All right, well, that's
or good. Or before.
That's good clean living, isn't
it? So it's interesting to see that the difference in the culture.
Mm.
Perhaps Gareth hasn't made himself feel so loved in because he doesn't socialise with the other players because they live a different type of lifestyle to the one that he's.
That's true. Living. People in Barry Island tend not to go out for dinner about half past 11 at night, do they, really?
Exactly.
They tend not to do that.
Exactly. Well, when you take your holiday in Skegness, you know.
Yeah, you know, you don't go out for dinner.
Older people, they have their dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. Come on.
That's right.
But, you know, there was the feeling that he was going to be waiting for Zidane to get the sack, but actually it's not going that badly for Zidane, is it? And there's no sign. I mean, Poch is waiting. I presume a lot of people are waiting for this to happen, but I don't think it's going to, is it?
I think Pochettino, if Pochettino had been sacked 3 months ago, he would be the Real Madrid manager now.
Mm.
You know, I'm pretty certain he would be. But now he's been sacked by Tottenham. Maybe not. And Zidane has come through a bit of a dodgy patch and has got a few results and, you know, they're right up there. So Florentino Perez may be reluctant. Mourinho was another name that was being, you know, branded around the Bernabeu as a potential replacement. But I don't know, is Zidane going to get through this? And the bigger question on our subject with you today is, will Gareth Bale get through this? I don't think they want to give him away. You know, he's a valuable player, and when he's fit, he's probably one of our most important players in the whole team.
Yeah. Charlie the Cabbie has just been in touch, and he said, Paul Breen-Turner tipped me well. So a bit of a thumbs up from the London cab trade. You obviously you gave a cabbie.
I must have been getting mixed up with the money again.
See, they're like,
yeah, exactly.
They're like elephants. They never forget London cabbies. You give them a good tip and they'll tell all of his cabbie mates what a good tipper you are.
Oh, they're brilliant. Do you know, quick word before I say farewell. The black cabbies are amazing. Right. I mean, whenever I get in there, because you speak in a speaker, they recognise our voices. I'm sure you guys have had it as well. And they're just brilliant. They're all listening to Talk Sport. They love their football and they're knowledgeable. So, who was it? Harry, was it?
Charlie. How soon forgotten? Charlie. Yeah. That's
Charlie,
made him feel
all
special.
The best. I enjoyed the journey in your cab.
You don't
name.
Really remember it, do you?
Good old PBT.
So, one final one on Pochettino. A few stories today suggesting that Barcelona of the kind of the giants of Spanish football are showing an interest as well. But he always said he would never do that because of his links to Espanyol. But, I mean, could you see it? Would they want him there? And would the Barcelona fans accept him if he did want to take it?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, his kids are friends with the kids of the president of Barcelona. And they've been spotted before together in restaurants in Barcelona capital, which have kind of raised eyebrows a little bit. But you're quite right. He has said, how could I be the manager of Barcelona when I played for the biggest rivals, apart from Real Madrid, Espanyol? So, but there again, who would have thought Jose Mourinho? Didn't he say 5 years ago he could never be a Tottenham manager?
Yeah, people do say stuff in football and then do
That's
something
true.
Different.
That's true. Paul, well, enjoy Budapest. What you got planned?
Just loving being here. Nice people. They all speak English, which is very useful for me. And trying to get used to the money and everything, but it's a great place, and really enjoying being here. And I'm here till Saturday, and then I'll be departing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. And Chris Watney was in, so we've had always kept in touch with the guys at Corinthian Casuals. That's very true of the boys behind Football Manager from very early days of the game. Of course, it's a huge deal now, is Football Manager. 2020 is out. The people at Sports Interactive brought out once again. And as always, Miles Jacobson joins us in the studio. Good to see you, Miles.
Hello. This is all a bit different, isn't it?
Yes, well, yeah, quite
very
slick.
Very posh studio.
Yeah.
Still us, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the first time you probably would have come in and talked about the game. I mean, when you think how far it's come as a piece of technology and in terms of popularity, it's something else, isn't it?
It's pretty bonkers. I mean, I've been doing it now, Championship Manager before, now Football Manager for 25 years.
Wow.
So there was one game out before then, which was 27 years ago. But yeah, it keeps growing, and it's quite odd that it keeps growing, because normally when you have rock bands that have been around for that long, you know, they're releasing albums now to go on tour. We don't get to go on tour. But for some reason, it's become more and more popular. So the new game came out on Tuesday, and we had a record day one, most ever, which is kind of crazy.
I think one of the reasons is your enthusiasm, a bit like us, you say we're still, you've still got that enthusiasm for the thing, you still love it, and I think that really comes across, doesn't it?
Well, I make it for me.
and that's probably the best way, I think.
It just so happens that there are a couple of million people around the world who are like me and want to play the game.
Mm.
So the day that goes, we have to find another me to take over the directing duties. But the passion and the love that goes into it is huge, because I want the best game that I can play as possible.
What are the major changes this time in?
Well, one of the biggest things this year is we've added something called Club Vision, which is basically 5-year plans,
mm-hmm.
Which the best clubs have, and the clubs that aren't as good wish they had them. So rather than just being told we need you to finish here this season, you're actually being told what you need to do over the next five. And each club also has their own individual personality. So at clubs that in the real world encourage you to buy players to then sell them on, that's now covered in the game. You're basically more dictated to a little bit by the clubs, but it also means that you can't move from club to club and just do whatever you want to. Mm-hmm. You've actually got to fit in with their style as well. As part of that, we've also got playing time pathways, because we see at the moment with Chelsea playing a lot of young players that they've kind of been forced to do a little bit with the transfer ban and the reason of bringing Frank in. So we also have playing time pathway for players, because there were players who wanted to leave at the end of last season because they weren't getting first team football at Chelsea. They might have been promised that in the past. So when you're signing a player on a 5-year deal and they're a kid, you can turn around and say, right, this year you're going to be in the under-23s. This year we're going to send you on loan. This year you're going to be on the fringe of the squad. This year you'll be a regular player.
Mm.
And they can tie that into their contract.
Plus, is that a development centre, or is that...
No, that's separate to the development centre. The development centre for the clubs that buy loads of players and send them out on loan is basically kind of the Chelsea edition of the game. So we now have development centre and loan managers in place as well, who will give you much better reports of the players that are out on loan, how they're progressing. And the same for your own youth team as well. You get a lot more information about them. So a lot of this year's features are geared towards long-term play, because the average play time last year on FM19 was 300 hours in a year. So people play it for a long time, and they tend to play the same game, the same save. But there's also loads of things for people who just dip in and dip out. So there's new graphics in the match engine, loads of new animations, vastly improved match engine, improved transfers, improved AI across the board. Mm. There's a lot packed into this year.
I want to ask you a question. Yeah. Say, for example, when Javi Gracia lost his job, if Watford had come to you and said, do you want to manage the team? I know you've got no experience, so the players would look at you a bit sideways.
Well, he knows most of the players.
Could you manage a professional team is what I'm asking you.
I don't have my coaching qualifications.
Oh, so,
I think you had to get out. I reckon you could.
Director of football, possibly. I'm much better on the transfer side of things than I am on the tactic side of things.
Do people... I mean, we know that the engines that you use for the game have been used by football clubs. You occasionally... Has anybody ever kind of knows you in football said, what's he like in the game, Marsh?
All the time. So we actually now sell data to football clubs. Mm. So there are Premier League clubs who are known for having good data systems that have basically based their whole data system on ours and built up from it. Particularly during transfer windows, agents tend to lie about players' injury histories. Who knew? So we get regular phone calls from clubs at those points going, can you give us the injury history of this player going back to when they were 16? Because we have that information. Wow. So we're able to do that. And clubs often ask us for recommendations. We have deals with a few clubs officially. Lots of them ask for the game for free. Yeah. And then turn around and go, yeah, and we're using your data for this. And it's like, well, that's great. But, you know, if you want to pay us for it.
Yeah, that'd be better.
you can do. But, yeah, it's weird how... Well, it's not that weird because we always thought that it should be the case. But certainly in the last 10 years, we've become way more part of football than we are part of the games industry.
Yeah.
The games industry kind of look at us and think we're like the Fast and the Furious franchise or something like that. You know, we're a game that doesn't sell to gamers.
Yeah. We spoke to you last year at the same time about Brexit and how that was going to impact the game. And you did so much work on Brexit, I read this week on wired.co.uk, that Culture, Media and Sport Department called you in and they wanted to look at all the different scenarios up with.
When Tracy Crouch was there, I was working with her on the scenarios, presented all of the data, came up with what I believe is the best way to protect UK PLC, which is what the government calls tax revenues, and the Premier League and the England national team, and have certainly spoken to various football organisations about that and presented the data to them as well.
Amazing.
So we've made some tweaks to Brexit in this year's game because obviously the political landscape has changed a bit, so mm-hmm. we have to take into account the different likelihoods for this year's election and what the different parties are promising.
Sure.
So there's actually a higher chance of no deal because there is now someone turning... Sorry, a higher chance of staying in the EU because there is a political party now saying we are going to stay if we win. But there's also a higher chance of us leaving at the end of 2020, because that's what the Conservatives' policy is. So we keep our own personal politics out of it. We just use those percentage chances in the game to decide what kind of Brexit you get in game.
The other thing as well, Marge, I couldn't quite believe in this piece, was the way that there was a guy that's played the game up to the year 3,165.
It's a bit scary, isn't it?
And the things that have gone on in the world, people have these parallel universe versions of the game. There's one in 3019 where Brentford have won the Premier League for the second year, and Natalie will be pleased. Yeah. Berlin Wall still standing. Yugoslavia still exists. Leicestershire is like a Monaco-like tax haven. So the game allows people to kind of create these parallel worlds.
They were so happy when Leicester won the title.
Yes,
yeah. Well, we were also a sponsor of theirs that year, so the story couldn't have been better when Leicester won it for us. But yeah, people do create their own worlds because we don't create a story for people. Mm. Every single game is unique, so they're creating their own story when they're playing the game. And if you think about it, as again going back to the film analogy, so something like the Marvel Universe has a few thousand characters in it. We've got 800,000 characters in ours that are based on real-life footballers, or 870,000 real-life footballers and staff. But then every year we're putting made-up people into the universe, and it all has to remain canon.
Yeah.
They all have to seem real for us to create the suspension of disbelief that allows people to create their own stories.
How far can you go back? We were just chatting to Chris Watney from Corinthian Casuals there. I wondered if you went back to, you did kind of Football Manager Gold, so you look after Royal Engineers and Wanderers.
So there's still a bunch of people who play the old Championship Manager games, particularly Championship Manager 01, 02. It's still very popular. We actually did an April Fool's joke with the Football League a couple of years ago for Football Manager, was it 1887 or something? that you started off in when football was first became a sport with teams.
And then
new teams came through each year and we changed all the text in the game. So it was all gadzooks and and the wonderful words of those era. But it,
the old typefaces and stuff of the era.
There were a bunch of people who thought it was a great idea. Whereas, no, definitely an April Fool's joke.
Yeah.
I don't quite think that we can... we can research the players who were playing for Corinthian Casuals.
Yeah,
and
might be a bit tricky.
Yeah, that's back in the day in Sheffield FC.
Just finally, we understand that real life often impacts on the game. And you've seen a pretty hefty increase in users who have added themselves as Spurs managers.
Well, I'm still quite annoyed with Tottenham because I put something out on my Twitter a couple of weeks ago saying, look, if you're going to sack managers during the transfer window, during the international break, do it in the first couple of days.
So we can tweak it.
Because we had data lock.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of clubs were sending me tweets as they were getting rid of their managers at the start, which was hilarious. And then Tottenham wait until the day the games come out.
I
just sent out a tweet at that point going, we provide a free data editor with our game. It's available here. But people do tend to not take over clubs if they like their manager.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a big problem when the game starts because I tend to like the manager at Watford. So I put it on holiday until he gets sacked in the game and then start the game at that point. But yes, there's been a huge increase.
83%, we're told, of users adding themselves as Spurs manager in the 24 hours since he went.
What about real life? We could come into
There's real life?
Yes.
Your team in real life.
One
quick word on Watford, off the bottom before the break. So that's some good news.
Signs are better, aren't they?
And Troy is about to come back as well, who's a bit of a talisman for us. We did deserve to be in the position that we were in because that's the position that we were in. We've been unlucky with a couple of VAR decisions. I think every club can say that.
Yeah.
Not against Chelsea, you weren't, but that's I
said at the start of the season we were going to finish 12th, and I still believe that we're going to finish 12th. I think we're going to get through.
We've
got some great
7 points you've got to make up for the rest of the season. That's very doable with Troy back.
I think so as well.
Yeah. Well, lovely to see you.
Thanks for having me as always.
If you want the game to be dense and intricate, it can be. You've got the mobile version as well that I often play on iPad and stuff, which is not like that. It's a bit more, if you've just got less time, if the old school players like myself, I like to dip in on that.
Absolutely, and touch as well for people who want something in between. So we try to cater for everyone there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Did you know that I found this out because somebody's daughter wrote in the opening credits of Only Fools and Horses, there's a photo of a barman with spectacles and moustache. It's an old photo. And he was a boxer. Somebody wrote in and said the barman was Albie Hollister, my great-grandfather, a professional boxer from Islington, North London in the 40s and 50s, fought 55 times as a professional with 28 wins, 24 losses and 3 draws.
That's great knowledge of the titles of of Only Fools and Horses.
Well, I checked and yes, he is in there.
That's very impressive.
Very
Newport are at it again. They beat Lloyd Griffiths Grimsby last night as Sand Lloyd Griffith. Mm. Podrick Ammon, our old mate who we often speak to on the show.
Yeah.
He scored again. They've now got Morden and Tiptree in the next round. So they could be back in the third round. With respect, as we say, no disrespect to Morden and Tiptree, but they do find themselves potentially on the cusp of the third round again, which is pretty impressive, isn't it? And what is it about them?
Yeah, unless Tiptree a bit jammy, you never know.
I think he won't do it. He just won't do it. He's not that sort of lad. He just won't do it.
Did you see Walsall? They've published their player fines, probably on the back of Chelsea.
Yeah,
and they're quite stringent, $20,000 if you're late for training and $1,000 if your mobile phone goes off. Walsall, if your mobile phone goes off, it's a tenner.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it, really?
Yeah. If you're late, it's £20.
Okay.
Anything, I think fair
anything
enough.
If you park your Ferrari in the manager's spot in the car park?
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen,
let's
no.
Let's be honest. And you see more sooty puppets. They're quite a collector's item, these. Being given away by creator Harry Corbett. Have sold for £5,000 at auction. That's another one gone, as they would say.
Yeah, something similar. That's a phrase I've once heard before. I saw Kevin De Bruyne railing against the format of the Euros. Yeah. And he's got a point, isn't he? Because Belgium, through all sorts of politics, now know that they will face Denmark in Copenhagen and Russia in St. Petersburg because...
Despite the fact that they absolutely romped their group. Ridiculous.
Well, Brussels is not a home city, or Belgium's not a home nation. There won't be games there. So this is one of the dominant sort of forces in world football, knowing they're going to be playing in two of the teams in host cities. And Platini, of all the many things he did wrong, and let's be honest, there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
This is right up there, isn't it? This kind right of up. Daft experiment. Although we were talking about the other day, what me and the feeling was that there was no one or two country that was stepping forward during that sort of financial crisis at that time and was prepared to host it.
The Nations League, as much as we mock these things, actually, to be fair to UEFA, was a success. I mean, the games had something about them, the game in Spain. They had some edge to the games in Croatia. So, you know, it's not all bad. Did you see that this is a mad story, this. A commuter has been criticised online for cleaning his teeth. This is on the London Tube, and spitting on the floor at a busy station.
That's not good, is it?
No, I mean, it's
but while he was looking up at the train boards, kind of waiting for his train to come.
Yeah, he basically, he was disgusted. No, he was disgusted.
He was disgusted. Well, we're discussing him now.
He was reported by Blood and Transport Workers.
Blood and Transport Worker.
What a strange story this is. NHS Blood and Transport Worker, Melissa Thermidor. Known as Lobster in the dressing room.
Blood and Transport.
It's a bit of an odd.
And Elvis Costello.
Two jobs. This is it. Commuter brushed his teeth at tube. This is in the Sun today. At a tube station in Russia, then spat on the platform. NHS Blood and Transport Worker, Melissa Thermidor, was disgusted. Oh, don't ask
me. God, you should be reading the news, Andy. This is good.
It's all good stuff. I like this story, though.
Well, you have to be quick.
Oh, all right.
Go on then.
Basically, they thought that bears at Oakland Zoo had sort of attacked the glass and cracked the viewing window in their sort of enclosure. But it wasn't. It was a child. Basically, a child hit a rock against the glass several times, shattering the laminate layer. I think, what great parents. Who lets their child do that?
Throw rocks in,
at a bear.
Yeah. Well, the glass separating the kid from the bear. That's true.
Yeah.
It's not great parenting, Andy, I'll give you that.
Okay.
We've got to get, what's her name? Melissa Thermidor. Let's get her in. It's be fantastic. What a guy. I've never met anybody called Thermidor.
No.
No.
Well, I've only known Lobster Thermidor as the word Thermidor. I mean,
let's just go, shall we? You've opened up a can of Thermidor that we really don't want to know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Reflecting on that, the producer pointed out it was a bit, instead of saying blood and transport worker, it should have been blood and transplant worker.
Okay, fair enough.
So she's in the transplant business. But Andy said, well, not necessarily. Someone's got to transport the blood. What does that even mean?
No idea.
Okay, that's it. I think that's it, isn't it? So we will catch up with you tomorrow. Mo Gilligan's here. Bob Wilson. Wazim Khan joins us, who looks after cricket in Pakistan these days. Former Warwickshire player, title winner of Warwickshire. He did win the title, didn't that? Dermot Reeve era. Yeah, great team. Anyway, we'll do all that. Martin Kellner, Clips of the Week. Have a fine evening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.